We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Hit it! Na 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 na.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is draft day in Kansas City. Hope to see all of you at the landing tonight in Liberty. Our full show, our entire staff at 610 going to be hanging out there for the entire night. Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley broadcasting live at 6 o'clock. And again, you can fill out that draft form, 610sports.com, or when you show up before the first round starts tonight at the landing, how do you see the first round going? And I'll be honest, like to me, waiting till today to do it probably is smart. It just probably is. Some of you already filled it out, but based off of, you know, there's new rumors and all kinds of stuff coming out.
Might change your mind.
Maybe so. You know, we'll get into some of the latest mock drafts and all that throughout the show today, but hope to see you guys up there tonight. Right now, we just have a 2-hour show scheduled unless weather.
For now.
Complicated. As of right this second, we're handing things off to Vern at noon. That's the current plan. But with the weather in the KC area, maybe there's a chance this game today gets altered. So we'll keep an eye on that. But as of now, until noon today, you guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Have you changed at all? How are you guys feeling about tonight for the Chiefs individually? You know, we'll get to the other top five picks in a second, but what's your feel on the Chiefs in particular? Are they staying at 32?
So I've tried to really think about whether or not Brett Veach was truth-telling when he had said, I think Nate was right, where he had, in a way, kind of admitted to the idea that he was willing to overpay in order to be up higher in the draft where they want to be. I'll be honest, I think that's a mistake to overpay. I think he's doing it right by just saying, like, hey, if somebody wants to give me the right deal, a fair deal for both parties, I'm willing to go up. And it seems like most people don't want to do that yet. And I just kind of feel like after all that, he's kind of maybe not truth-telling enough. Yeah. I actually think they're going to pick at 32 again. I think it is harder to move up or down than you think. Last year's a perfect example of that. They wanted to move more than pick there, and they settled for picking when it all shook out. And I just think there's more talent at 32 than there was last year. I think you're going to have a lot better options at that pick than you did just a year ago.
It's so tough every year, but I feel like this year's even trickier because, look, last year you're picking 31, the last pick in the first draft. This year there's nobody cheating like the Dolphins did, so you're actually picking at 32. Yeah. And so much of what your plan is, and you might even have the right train of thought, like, you know, whether it's Brett Veach and they truly want a left tackle or not, or you're someone that's, you know, locked in to the Chiefs in particular, and we had Nate Taylor on, and like you're hearing, and that all might be true, and that all might be the plan, but you know, you have all these other teams that impact your decision. You know, it's one thing if you're trying to say, all right, you're picking fifth, Cody, and then I think we actually could probably have a really, really good idea of what they're going to do because you're not relying on so many other teams. 32, man, even if 5-6 quarterbacks go off the board, two teams decide to take a tackle you weren't in your projections if you're the Chiefs thinking take an offensive tackle, well, all of a sudden, even if you wanted one, now you might have to pivot, and you probably will pivot. And so that's what's tricky. It
takes a lot to go right for the right tackle to be available to you at 32.
Because where I've been is I actually think they should draft a tackle, and I tend to believe that they really would like to draft a tackle, but what you said, it requires you to trade up, in my opinion, to get that tackle. So you got to have a team that's willing to work with you. And then the board still, to be cliche here, has to fall the right direction to where there's not a huge run on tackles that prevent you from actually trading up. Because I don't think they're if they trade up tonight, I don't think it's any higher than like pick 21 or 22, like the Trent McDuffie area again.
I think Schrager had him up to 19 in his mock.
Yeah, that seems high.
Who's at 19 right now? The Rams? Is that
yes? Right? Yes, that's right. Yeah, it is the Rams at 19. And yes, Schrager has them trading up for the Mims kid, another tackle who can't stay healthy and injury prone. I don't really like that trade.
He barely played.
Yeah. So I think trade up wise, pick 21 is as high as I realistically could see them going. But if the tackle's not there and there's no reason to trade up, then staying at 32 or trade down. I keep mentioning that. Like, I know that would suck. Everybody's waiting around. Someone said, oh, I'm going to have to wait till 9 o'clock for Veach to pick. If they stay at 32, try like 10:30. It's going to be like 10:15, 10:30 before they pick if they wait till 32.
I think, to your guys' point, I think offensive tackle is the position that if they had A.D. Mitchell available and they had, I don't know, name the tackle. I think they take the tackle at 32. But I think one thing that I said yesterday while we're joining the drive is I think that they need to be aggressively proactive for the pick that they want, not reactive. Because if they're reactive, then they fall into the trap potentially, as you said, Gold, of, well, no tackles available that we think is worth it here. We don't have A.D. Mitchell. We could take Ladd McConkey here, but do we feel like that's the best?
But that's where you can trade back if there's a partner to trade back.
I feel like they could get caught in that scenario where
that's how they got stuck last year. They wanted to trade back because they thought that they could get the guy they wanted later and couldn't find a partner.
And yeah, exactly that. No matter how aggressive you want to be, in the end, a team has to be willing to trade back with you. I think they end up taking Ladd McConkey at 32 because I think A.D. Mitchell is going to go too. If they get A.D. Mitchell, it has to be trading up. In my mind, I don't think he's falling seems to 32.
Like it seems like it, you know, and then this goes back to what we've been reminding people of all week, which is like, this is based off of what everybody perceives to be.
Consensus mock.
Right, that A.D. Mitchell consensus would that he's not there at 32. But we know there's going to be at least three or four individuals that either don't even go in the first round that everybody thought was a first rounder, or there's going to be someone that everybody thought would be off the board by 18 and he's there at 32, or someone that was going to clearly be available at 20 and he's off the board at 12. I mean, this is what makes the draft unpredictable and fun and why everybody seemingly can't get enough sometimes of the draft content.
Well, it's why I go back and like, I think about what we, you know, like last year, you and I with DeJuan Jones, a player that most people thought was going to be kind of like a second round pick on the offensive line and had a good year, but most people thought he was going to go around that range. And then he went in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are like, and I don't know if like the Brian Thomas Jr. rumors are right. There were multiple NFL draft experts who yesterday started saying that there are multiple teams who have health red flags on Brian Thomas Jr. If that's true, maybe he's available at 32, even though you didn't think he's going to be available, but he might as well go at like 11. Like it's so hard to know. Like if you go back through last year, you might remember at 32, we were talking about maybe Mingo would be available, and he went quite a bit later in, I think he was like maybe top 10 in the second round. Or we talked about BJ Ojulari, who went in the middle of the second round as a possible first round guy. But guys who went down in the third and stuff, we talked about the same way. So there's going to be some unpredictable nature to it. If you made me guess, I'd say they pick at 32 and they take a wide receiver. I'll take Legette because he's the guy I want.
Yeah.
I don't think you can guess wrong at that if it's Ladd McConkey or A.D. Mitchell. But I'm thinking they're taking a wide receiver at 32. I think tackle is going to be too cost prohibitive in order to get where they need to be in order to make that work, especially because now, and we can get to this in a minute, the rumors are that Latham might go in the top five. And if that's the case, well, then Alt's going still in the top 10, and then everyone else is going to start jumping up behind that.
I wonder, so looking at some of the teams that they could potentially trade up for, I think we've seen the Cowboys multiple times mentioned. Nate Taylor in their draft yesterday has them trading up to 24 to get Kingsley Suamataia. The Cowboys don't have a fourth round pick. I don't know if that would get the deal done, but if you move from, if the Chiefs say, hey, we'll give you 32, we'll also give you our fourth round pick.
Have to look at the trade chart.
For 24. And again, I don't know the points total if it matches up right. Well enough, but if they say, hey, our guy is here, we can move up to 20, we can move up eight spots, and we can get Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, a tackle, and we feel very comfortable enough to still keep our second and third round pick and do that, then by all means, they should do it and not just sit back and wait I mean, if they have the opportunity, I feel like they have to take it because you'd rather be sure you get your guy than hope that they fall at 32 and then be stuck in a spot where you have to trade back.
So separating the two, what they should do, I think they should draft Kingsley out of BYU at tackle. What will they do? I kind of am with you a little bit, Cody, where I think they end up just staying at 32, and whether it's A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey, it seems like those would be the two possibilities
there. Is there a preference there. You have at wide
receiver? So A.D. Mitchell. Okay. The reason for that is, it was funny, you weren't with us yet at the time, but we went back and forth as a show the year George Pickens was coming out of college. Was that last year? Or 2 years ago?
Again, two years ago.
And how much everybody wanted him, and now look what he's doing in the NFL. I think A.D. Mitchell has a chance to be like George Pickens. Like, to me, that's a comp. George Pickens.
Where all of a sudden he's 40.
Yeah, and he is good at, it's been the theme when we've talked wide receivers all week. He possesses good, like, deep ball tracking skills that they don't have in this offense. That's what I like about A.D. Mitchell compared to some of the other names. Now, if you believe in, hey, Brett Veach saying that his biggest regret was passing up on a DK Metcalf, well, then that's where Leggett is interesting because he's probably the closest. I'm not saying he's going to be DK Metcalf, but he's probably the closest to that body style and that style of receiver.
Well, and what we were talking about, the fact that, and I'm not saying he's never used weapons. He's obviously taken a bunch of second round wide receivers and all that. But as many times as the Chiefs have picked in the top 50, which is pretty much every year in perpetuity, even in the years where they traded their first round pick, they have often been somewhere in that range. They have taken exactly one offensive player for Patrick Mahomes in the top 50 of the draft. A singular player. That was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's it. I mean, I'm not saying he's like, he owes him, but like at some point, and again, I get it. They spent free agency money on wide receiver. They've spent second round picks on McColl and Sky. And obviously Rashee Rice worked out last year. But at some point, we talk about this with tackle. Wide receiver falls into the same range to me as tackle. Those might be the only two positions in which they haven't spent their most premium pick on. And at the very least, with tackle, they've once spent their 30th overall pick on Orlando Brown Jr. So in a way, they spent it on tackle. Not in the draft, but they did spend it on tackle. They have never made a big swing for wide receiver at any point. And I think largely, they've been able to get away with it because Travis Kelce exists, and they had a nice year out of Rashee Rice. But at some point, just because of everything at play, I'd like him to take a swing at wide receiver. Look, I'm good with tackle. I'm not going to be upset if they end up trading up for a tackle or taking a tackle tonight. I just think they're taking a wide receiver.
How often, I guess I would ask, how often, especially if you're at the back end of the draft, it's one thing if you're in the top five, how often do fans, let's just talk from a fan perspective, do fans have their team draft the guy they want? Like, if you're in the top five...
all the time.
Well, no, I would say all the time in the top five or top 10. Yeah. Not at the bottom of the draft. When's the last time the Chiefs drafted somebody? And the point being is it's so hard to predict the back end. But, you know, if you're in the top five or top 10, usually fans like whatever. If you're a Jets fan, like Brock Bowers and Rome Odunze are like seem like to be maybe two of the players that Jets fans want their team to draft. The Bears, it's pretty obvious. They're going to get Caleb Williams and they want maybe Rome Odunze at nine. So it's easier to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is, who do you think right now Chiefs fans want them to draft the most? Like, who are the top two
wide
names?
Wide receiver. Oh,
top two names?
A.D. Mitchell.
Okay.
Because they've seen that name over
They're
and over and
over.
Both and
over wide receivers, because fans always love the fun position of wide
it's
receiver.
Definitely that.
And so I guess I bring this up to say,
probably.
I don't know if they're going to, like, how often does that actually happen? And so if that's the case, what I'm getting at is, do they end up just taking the best player available? We're sitting here, people are a little bummed out, but it ends up being a great pick, and they actually draft a corner, or they draft a defensive lineman because he's actually the second or third best corner in the draft, and he's there at 32.
That's the one scenario where they pick a corner, is somehow Kool-Aid falls to them at 32, or they get Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri at 32, or Jared Verse is a guy who has slid a little bit. I don't know if he'd slide all the way to 32, but you just...
Cooper DeJean.
I did
learn that Kool-Aid's real first name is GaQuincy.
Yes.
I thought, that's a name. G-A apostrophe Quincy.
Kool-Aid's cooler.
Well, obviously, but his, like, he doesn't have a hyphen in his first name, in his, you know, his birth name, but he's got an apostrophe, so he's still got something in there.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, nobody should be stunned, though, if we're sitting there and they actually stay at 32 and they end up just taking a corner. Everybody's like, nobody thought that they were going to do that.
And
that would be more of the best player available approach.
So in 2017, I would say that they took quarterback. People want him to take quarterback. Then they didn't pick in 2018 or 19, so we don't even have an example. In 2020, there definitely were people who were interested in Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a running back with that first pick. not me, but there definitely were people. I would say they wanted a skill player for Patrick Mahomes at that time. So, like, close. Didn't have first round pick in 2021. 2022 is tough. I'll guarantee you this. Nobody was like, give me a corner. Nobody. Maybe defensive end with Karlaftis. We talked a lot about defensive end at that time.
Okay.
And then Felix Anudike-Uzomah, no. So, generally speaking, no.
So that's why I'm wondering, like, if we base it off of what fans want, it's usually not what happens at 28 to 32, which is where the Chiefs draft, that fans get the player. Everybody, like, if we were to base it off of the initial what fans wanted, then Xavier Worthy would be the pick, not even A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah, that's probably
true.
I think wide receivers, we are all going to be way off. There's way too many names. People are going to love so many different players. Yeah. They come in all different flavors. Yep. Whichever order we have them in now, like 4 through 9, it ain't accurate. Like, it's not going to be how it goes down. That's all.
The fact that we all agree that they're going to stay at 32, I think, opens up that possibility of them taking a corner, a D lineman, much, much more because of
Newton.
What's happened with, you know, the consensus of, okay, it's offensive tackle. And Johnny Newton's, he's in that range where if Byron Murphy goes, because he's projected to be the top D tackle taken, and you're at 25 or 26, I not to say they would trade up for a D tackle, but if you were to say, hey, the Chiefs trade up 4 spots and they take Johnny Newton at 28.
Well, that must mean
3 spots. Is that a problem?
Not if they love him.
I don't know what they're doing.
No, because I think there is, at some point, you get the benefit of the doubt. If you're a general manager, and Brett Veach to me has earned that in the draft now with the track record. And that is, if they're trading up now for somebody, like I actually do buy the, hey, we love the heck out of this guy. We felt like we couldn't draft him. I mean, we know what the story with McDuffie, they had him as a top 12 pick or whatever. And he's there at what, 21, whatever he got drafted at.
But they had to get him.
So they're like, oh, we have to get him. So in my mind, at least if they trade up at all, it's somebody that they had projected, let's just say, a top 15 or a top 20 pick, and he's there he's there at 23, and like, wow, oh, okay, we got to go pull the trigger, you know, or it's just somebody they view like, you know, they've kept quiet, you know, a generational type of talent, and they're like,
sure,
Brett Veach has never scouted a defensive lineman like this, or I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. Like, it would take something like that, possibly, for them to move up other than a position of need.
I already told you, I don't think it's going to be corner. They're trying to make everyone too convinced it's corner. It's not going to be corner. 0%. I'm putting it at 0.000%.
I don't think you want to do that, though. I don't think you want to put that. I'm just saying.
You don't think I want to come here tomorrow when they take Cooper DeJean.
I don't think you want to put it at zero, because if the tackle run happens and after all this, they're like, you know what? We're just going to take the best player. And people may not like the pick initially, but fast forward 2 years from now, and that corner is the compliment to Trent McDuffie, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have the top two, you know, corners in football, two of the top 5 corners in football, and they're paying one of them, both of them, on a rookie deal. And so to not pay Snead, and all of a sudden you go and bring in a corner, I don't think they need to do that in the first round. I think that's a second round thing. But if they did that in the first round, I don't think it's that crazy. The more we've talked about it, 3 weeks ago, I was like, absolutely not. But more we talk about it, and if you believe the reports that there could be so many of these tackles taken, corner at 32 maybe is not that crazy.
I wonder
if I'd be able to get one of the better ones.
If for whatever reason, if Quinyon Mitchell is available at 20, I think.
Oh, I don't know if they're trading up 10 spots for a corner, 12 spots for a corner.
No,
Quinyon is, he's been compared to Sauce Gardner in terms of the impact that he can make on the field.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
If he's available at 22, I wouldn't be surprised.
Trade up for a corner. I just got a third round pick for Snead, and I'm going to trade 11 spots up and give up multiple picks.
Why wouldn't I just pay Snead? You know, well, like, I know you want to save money, but, and the injury stuff and all the things that go with it. I still think the biggest possible trade thing tonight is, all wide receivers getting traded today, right?
Oh, you think Ayuk's getting traded?
I think Ayuk or T. Higgins, which we can get to in a minute.
We're going to talk about Drew's Bengals. Nobody wants to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
I don't think T's getting traded. But
I feel like there's been no smoke around Davante Adams, so then like all of a sudden he'll be traded.
That would be
because they
got
to kind of like...
I don't think he's getting traded because I also think the Raiders drafted Michael Penix Jr., and he's going to give it a year with the rookie and see what happens.
And that might be... if they take a quarterback, it's a lot different, obviously, and the odds of that moving are significantly less likely. I just feel like some kind of trade's happening. Who else do you think is the surprise team that moves way the hell up? Because I don't think it'd be all that surprising if Denver moved to 4. I don't think we should be like, whoa, Denver, no way. I'd be a little surprised if the Raiders went that high.
I still think the biggest, as far as jumping of spots, is going to be whoever trades up to 5 and takes the Chargers spot. So whether you think that's the Vikings, it's like a 5-pick trade up or whatever, 11-pick or 6-pick, I'm sorry, trade up, or you think it's the Broncos or you think it's the Raiders. I just struggle to see that. Is Harbaugh at 5 going to trade with Sean Payton and the Broncos and allow Sean Payton to draft his college quarterback? I just don't believe that's happening.
Is a sleeper team at quarterback Seattle? New coach. He's not married to Geno, right?
Yeah, see, to me, that's a late first round. To me, that would be Seattle trades back into the first round, and that's who grabs, like, Bo Nix late or something.
Okay. I mean, I just felt like that's a team that, yeah, if all of a sudden it was like, which surprise team jumped up to wherever to take a quarterback? Seattle's picking 16th.
What other picks are that? Did they have ammunition to go back into the first round?
I don't know.
I do think it is interesting. I don't know who's their backup, because they got Geno and then Drew Lock left. So I think they almost have to take a quarterback.
But
at some point they're going to take a guy. Maybe
they don't have a second round pick. They got round 1-16.
They could trade down and take Bo Nix.
Round 1-16. Yeah, that's true as well. But Bo Nix is interesting there. Round 1-16. Then they pick in round 3, and then they have 2 fourths, 2 sixths, and the 7th. So they'd have to trade some. They'd have to some future picks or trade down.
Another possible team the Chiefs can trade up with.
Look, I hope 6 quarterbacks go. I know you and I differ on how many quarterbacks could go.
Yeah, I don't think Bo Nix is going in the first, but that's it.
For the Chiefs' sake, that'd be great.
Yeah, I hope he goes
6 too. 6 QBs go. Obviously, that's 6 players that you were never interested in. That means tackles, wide receivers, corners, whatever, slide down the board more. And I do think ultimately 6 quarterbacks go. I think there's a chance 5 of them go in the top 12.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the Raiders and the Broncos do, because they need quarterback, but are they actually, how much do they love Michael Penix Jr.? How much do they love Bo Nix? Do they love them enough to take them actually in the first round?
You guys agree though that this time tomorrow, we're talking about the Broncos and Raiders having a brand new starting quarterback? So after the first round, basically.
No.
Broncos, yes. Raiders, no.
Okay. So you think the Broncos are more likely to draft a quarterback than the Raiders? Mm-hmm. So you're leaning into,
I think the veteran coach will go with Gardner Minshew for a year, and they'll just try to ride it out.
I think both teams come away with a quarterback. I tend to think it's Penix and McCarthy, but let's just take Bo Nix maybe even is the answer for the Broncos, if we've mentioned Seattle as well. But I think both teams end up drafting a quarterback tonight. Not will they draft one in the entire weekend? Of course they will. But for tonight, as in first round picks, I think both end up with new starting quarterbacks, or they won't say they're their starter, but you're drafting in the first round, they're going to start for you.
They should. Yeah. If they take him in the second, that's when they're like, hey, we're going to let these guys compete. And they like Gardner Minshew start for like 7 games. And then when they're like 3-4, here comes the rookie.
I mean, a Denver camp battle between Zach Wilson and Bo Nix would be hilarious.
I definitely think Denver's taking a quarterback, because I can't get over the fact that Sean Payton took that job just to start, to burn the first 2 years as a Denver Broncos head coach with a quarterback he hated before he even got there and hated more when he got there. And then he's just going to go, for real, he's going to go Zach Wilson and Jared. No way.
You said just Broncos no do, way. Raiders don't, Cody?
Yes.
I think the Raiders do and the Broncos don't.
God, I'd be stunned if the Broncos didn't take a quarterback.
Yeah, someone points out Sam Howell got traded to Seattle. That's who's backing up. That's who's backing up Geno.
That's like, I got to consider you at least. Maybe they're the second or third round. Maybe they are the Spencer Rattler company.
I think Denver's taking Spencer Rattler in the third round. That's going to be what it is.
I mean, I just wouldn't even take a quarterback then.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't even take a quarterback then. I just wait. Just go ahead and
I'll be honest.
Take the long play and go ahead and just hope you have a top 5 pick next year too.
25 years from now, when Patrick Mahomes decides to retire at the age of 50. And the Chiefs have to find a new quarterback.
And Travis Kelce's catching passes at age 60.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I am not interested in a free agent quarterback. Any of them. I can just tell you right now. In the land of 2050, I am not interested in any free agent quarterback that is available. I don't want any of them. And I don't want any quarterback drafted after the second. I'd like a first round quarterback, please. That's it. I can't believe some of these teams still sit on this when a team like the Chiefs screwed it up for so long. Because they did. They got it right now, and everything's great, and they got 3 Super Bowl titles. They made one bad pick in the 80s and spent 30 damn years not taking a quarterback in the first round. And the first time they did it, they got a generational starting quarterback once in a lifetime. And yeah, You could have screwed it up a whole bunch of times in between then and in the Cleveland Browns and had 17 names on your jersey. But taking Brody Croyle in the third or Spencer Rattler in the third this year, the possible success rate on it is so impossibly low, it's a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. You want to take him later because you want to do it the Brock Purdy way, where you take the guy third overall and you just take some other dude in the seventh a year later because you're like, screw it, can't hurt. Cool, we're good there.
So you would then take... So you're saying you'd rather have Bo Nix than Spencer Rattler?
Yes. Yes. Look, I don't want Bo Nix, I'll be honest.
Well, I'm just saying, if the Chiefs in 2050 have a guy who's 25 and they're going to take him, do you
I'll be honest, I wouldn't take Bo Nix on the first, but yes, your point is valid. I would take Penix.
I just wanted to
if you
sure.
were talking about the Penix I'm in, I think Bo Nix should be a second-round guy, so then you're really kind of splitting hairs. I don't want Bo Nix either in that scenario. I want zero. I want a first-round quarterback, the end. Ideally, somewhere in the top 15, if we're being honest.
Remember, we got our draft contest tonight. If you know how the draft's going to go, like this guy that texted in and says, you guys don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. You think you could be an NFL GM. Not one of you know what the heck you're talking about. Perfect. You should enter our draft contest. You've got it figured out. So you can win $610 tonight. Fill out a draft form. We'll see you at the landing tonight in Liberty. Coming up next, though, we'll talk a little bit more about the left tackle position, why Cody says it's not as necessary as I do, and nobody wants to stay with Drew Cincinnati Bengals.
And with the first round pick, Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would have asked for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft.
Good young players.
What the draft's all about.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the draft.
Wide receivers, running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
Every year in the draft,
there has been a trade.
Ricky Williams.
Non Dolphins.
This is the NFL Draft Remix.
Welcome back to the draft.
Defensive line.
Wide receiver.
Running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
That's all I'll get into that.
What is this?
I've never heard this.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know if this was Drew's creation.
No, this is made 12 years ago.
12 years? Well, I heard the Ricky Williams mention, but...
It's an NFL draft
remix.
I've
never heard this before. I didn't know this was a thing.
This must be like the football's version of basketball. Gimme.
It's got almost
ball,
a million views on YouTube. Yeah.
Except that's way better.
I love that one. Are you kidding me?
That's way better. It is draft day, though. I didn't know.
That's why I played it, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd never heard that one before. I didn't know if that was, we'll get to whatever. Hey, you know what? Whatever song makes you feel better today, we'll get to your Bengals in a little bit because
don't
it's a hell of a
started.
Time to be a Cincinnati fan, man. That was quite the news yesterday. We'll get there in
the whole
a
team
few
said we're done. Here.
Yeah,
we're good.
I can't blame them. I can't get out of Cincinnati. Can't blame them one bit.
This is probably a dump.
Yep. Clearly
never
is.
Never been. But,
yep.
You know.
Drew hasn't been either. I don't think.
Oh no, I've been to Cincinnati multiple times, and Nate Taylor does
not
like
game,
Cincinnati
though.
Either. Yeah, no, yeah, I've been to Cincinnati for a game.
Oh, why do I feel like I haven't been there for a
Parker
game?
Stadium is great.
We were talking about...
It is older. Like, their lease is up here in a couple of years, so they'll be in a similar situation.
And the whole league's apparently in a situation where they're trying to get a new stadium, so we'll see. Chicago wants a five... You know, can I ask a question about Chicago Stadium real quick?
Okay.
So it's a $5.5 billion project.
Oh, so that thought it was... Anyway.
What it did better. It's a $5 billion. It's a big project. Why do they care if it's lakefront, if it's a dome? Can't see the lake.
Well, you saw the renderings. It looks pretty nice right by the lake.
Well, like
there's like a
picturesque, but you're not like getting any of the benefits of like, ooh, look, the lake. You know, like where you like kind of want to overlook the things that you're near.
For tailgating or before the game, there's green space, people hanging out, and there happens to be a lake next to it. It looks good.
It's fine. I don't know if they're getting whatever they're trying to get from the city, $2.5 billion. We'll see.
Huh.
I'm just asking. I didn't know. It didn't seem like it didn't need
I mean, they don't have control. To. They don't have to let people boat their way into the stadium to have a lakefront stadium.
You also gave me a quote over the break, and I've decided there's a new player off my official board.
Okay.
So my personal Chiefs board off my board. I don't want them to draft him at 32.
Anyway.
I don't want them to trade up for him. Cooper DeJean, the corner, done. He said in an interview with general managers. He thinks he can beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one in basketball. He'd get his ass kicked. He'd lose.
That does sound like a question that
they're like the same
him.
Height.
He said he got asked it multiple times, which is like, of course he was. Of course he got
those
asked.
Weird questions. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he couldn't ball up a little. He's a great athlete. I'm not saying he couldn't hold his own. He thinks he's beating her one-on-one. No, that ain't happening.
That's why you wouldn't draft him.
That's correct.
The good news is he probably is not going to be there unless you trade up significantly.
Yeah, so. Most people think he's going like between 15 and 25. So. Mm-hmm. That's not significantly. I mean, that's in the 20s. You never know. This is probably sending him like just barreling down lists. I can't. Or maybe up. Maybe all these GMs are like, yeah, I'm glad you said you could beat somebody who's
better. Everybody reads into the answer. If he would have said, nope, she would beat me, then there'd be some GM that'd say, I don't like that. He thinks he can't beat somebody right away without even trying. That's not a good sign.
If somebody picks
him. Without even trying. Her sport is basketball. Mm-hmm. She is a generational basketball player. Why would he be like, yeah, I could probably take her down. I don't know what their height difference is. I mean, it's not like he has to go up against, like, 6'9" basketball players, but Caitlin Clark and Cooper DeJean are probably the same size, right?
If somebody picks him because he said he could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one, then that team's probably not very good. They're probably not.
Well, it turns out a lot of these teams are pretty stupid. He's 6'1", 207 pounds.
He's been labeled as like a hybrid guy. He can play corner, he can play safety, he can play, you know, slot, he can do everything.
She is 6', so he's got an inch on her. 155. The weight's going to be tough. He could, like, you know, body her a little bit, but that's about it.
All right, we'll get to we'll get back into other teams' draft process and what's going on in Cincinnati in just a little bit. But you're not as desperate, I guess, to get a left tackle as others. Look, I've been wanting a left tackle for a while. What's your reason for you said you're not totally against it, but you just don't think it's a priority?
I'm not desperate for it. Does that make sense? Like, I think sometimes we get in these positions where, like, gotta have it. They really need a left. It's time to get Patrick Mahomes the protection he deserves. This goes a lot to, like, where they've been the entire Mahomes era. And I know you could, like, make the argument for wide receiver last year, certainly. But Patrick Mahomes has had elite weapons at wide receiver before and has won a Super Bowl with elite weapons at wide receiver before. I would say, at best, in any given year, the best left tackle play Patrick Mahomes has ever received is slightly above average. He's never had great elite-level left tackle play. Perfectly fine left tackle play, which is what he's gotten, or even slightly below average left tackle play, is what he's gotten the entire time he's in Kansas City, and he's one of the lowest sacked quarterbacks in the leagues every year. Does not stop his running ability. He has not been overly hurt versus any other quarterback in the NFL. They've won a bunch of rings. Left tackle has never been a thing that has held them back. So I don't feel desperate for a position that has never been the reason where I'm like, damn, you came up short. Because the only time they came up short from the offensive line, they had 72 injuries on the offensive line before the Super Bowl. A different circumstance. And even then, they had some injuries on the offensive line, and it didn't stop them from getting all the way to the game. It was just the nail in the coffin when Eric Fisher eventually got it.
I would say a couple things with that. So when you have fairly high-level right tackle play, then I don't think the left tackle is as problematic. The problem is, you're banking. Are you confident, and they're paying him like they are, but are they confident that Juwan Taylor, the issues he had last year, the spotlight that he had placed on him since week one of last season, and it was tough to adjust, is he able to go through a full offseason this year, make those adjustments to where the spotlight's not on him, and will that lead to just better play? And if you're getting much better play at right tackle, then maybe, yeah, the left tackle is not as pressing. Because I know the injury Eric Fisher at the end, but Mahomes did, for a couple years in his career, have Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz left and right. Not bad, right? Uh-huh. Not bad.
So that's like the Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill version of it. No, Mitchell Schwartz at the time was probably the best right tackle in football. And Eric Fisher, I would again say, was average. Like, slightly above average. He was a good left tackle. I don't think he's ever got top 10 left tackle play. That's what I mean.
I still think this is more of like a legacy conversation, but like Eric Fisher, because of where he was drafted, number one overall, and everything like that, and the initial start to his career, I still think he was underappreciated in his final like 5 years. He actually was really freaking good.
Fisher?
And he had Eric Fisher.
Oh, yeah,
I just think that because he got drafted number one overall and how people perceive the first year or so, that people already made up their mind, but that's a whole separate conversation. Look, I just think it's one thing to go through a season, and you're right. Last year, you know, wide receiver, look, they didn't have a great wide receiver crop. They still won. You're saying the 1 year where they didn't have a great offensive line play, they lost in the Super Bowl. But that was, as you said, related to injury. Like, just because you get through something for X amount of years doesn't mean that, like, I'm just good with having a spot starter at left tackle again. Now, Donovan Smith played at a better level at times than I think, again, he's appreciated for. You know, you've brought up David Bakhtiari, maybe you'd be interested in. For all the concerns that people had this time last year or in May of Donovan Smith, was because of injury. I don't really want David Bakhtiari. Injured. That guy can't stay healthy. He's an all-pro 5 years ago.
I know, and so, Donovan Smith missed time last year, but he was more healthy than he had been. I think they're better at keeping teams healthy. I think some of it is just the overpayment. I honestly think in order to get the left tackle that they probably would feel comfortable getting, they're going to have to pay to go up. And every analytical analysis would suggest to you that the team who trades up loses the trade value wise, like war based on like the players they get later in the draft versus the two picks versus the one they get up there, the team who trades down wins 80% of the time. So it's not to say you can't win it. You definitely can. And I've told you the Chiefs can take more risks going up than most teams. It's like, God, I'd rather just save it for like, and it's not that this is a non-deep left tackle draft. It's a good tackle draft.
No, we just mentioned the stats yesterday, though, and I know some of it is talking about just second contracts, but offensive tackle had, what was the graphic from Schefter? Was it 70% hit rate on offensive tackles that were drafted in the first round that get a second contract, and wide receivers were like 25% of the time. Now, some of that we think maybe is just where the market is headed, but there's something to be said for that. Like, if you're drafting a tackle in the first round, there's a good chance he's good enough to get a second contract, which means he's a pretty damn good starter. I just don't like the thought of going in, and it sounds like you're good with it, which I think the text line agrees with you, that for the next 3 years, you're just good with constantly bringing in a different veteran to play left tackle.
I'll take my shot depending on the year. I'm not saying I'd never do it. The other thing that I would be interested if I were the Chiefs is, the next time a Trent Williams is on the market, that'd be my game. Trading for a known product.
Can't pay everybody on the offensive line, though. Like that, I guess that's part of my thought process of why maybe they need to go.
They need one cheap person.
Because
I just think Jawan Taylor's contract will come up in a year and a half, so I can start paying a left tackle now.
Because Jawan Taylor, as of March of this year, his following year's contract became guaranteed. So like we thought maybe they could get out of it. It's already guaranteed for next year now, my understanding, as of like May 10th or something of this season. So they're paying big time money at right tackle. We both agree that Creed Humphrey's probably getting an extension. While center money's not huge, he's going to be the highest paid center in football if he gets a new deal. At right guard, I don't think they're going to pay Trey Smith. So maybe that's where in this year's draft they go and get a third round guard, and it's someone that can grow behind Smith for this year. Left guard, the deal looks good, but they're still paying Joe Tooney decent money, and he might be gone in a year or two. I guess I would rather not have to go and pay a free agent market price for a left tackle when maybe I can go get a left tackle.
Like if you look at like what Penei Sewell got, they're getting expensive. I understand that part of it. I'm just not pressured. Yeah. People have been apparently Cooper DeJean was pretty good at basketball in high school, by the way. He's Iowa's second all-time leading basketball scorer.
There you go.
He's ahead of Harrison Barnes, NBA player for all-time points in Iowa. He apparently was recruited to be a Division I basketball player, so he's pretty good, I guess. I had not considered the fact. His and-one mixtape, not bad. He's throwing down some pretty sick dunks. I still think her shooting, like, part of the thing is, like, make it tough for him now is, like, she's actively playing. He just had her playing football. You think he plays pickup at the rec?
Not while he was prepping for the draft. He's going to tear an ACL right before the draft. Like,
freshman, sophomore year of college.
Probably.
You think he goes with his frat and plays some ball at the rec?
You think he was in a frat while he was playing football at Iowa?
I don't know. What, football players can't be in fraternities?
I don't think they have time.
Oh, you think there's not enough time?
Yeah. For I'm serious. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess that his frat is his team. Right? That's his football fraternity.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's my guess. That's my guess. Can we talk about how our guy Drew's feeling today?
Hey, Drew. You okay, man?
Our guy Drew with Cincinnati. The reports yesterday from Adam Schefter that Trey Hendrickson, not happy with his deal. One of the better defensive linemen in football.
Wants a new 17 deal. 17 sacks or something last year?
Requested a trade. Then Adam Schefter reaffirmed what was reported earlier this offseason, which was that T. Higgins, not happy, hasn't gotten the discussions that he's wanted for a new deal. He wants to be traded. T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson, two of their four best players on the team, maybe. One out. Their owner sounds cheap as hell. And it's a reminder of how difficult it is to take care of everybody when your quarterback's going to be making money, when Ja'Marr Chase is going to be making some money here soon. You can't keep everybody, and you don't have anything to show for it yet.
Drew can talk here in just a moment, as he's dealing with a technical issue back there.
Bad timing on our part.
He probably called that guy in just to avoid this conversation.
He doesn't want to talk about Cincy.
Look, tough day for Cincy. You know what I love about this is that they're admitting the level of desperation other teams have that the Chiefs don't, because one of the reports out of there, and look, Trey Hendrickson is threatened to retire if they don't trade him. So as much as the report that said Cincinnati's no interest in trading T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson because they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, they're not about giving away star caliber players before the draft in the middle of a Super Bowl window. They're admitting what we all know, which is their window for Super Bowl championships is closing shut in a hurry because everyone's getting expensive, and the guys that they don't want to pay that they're desperately trying to hold on to for a last little bit of juice for a good roster don't want to be there anymore because they're not paid commensurate with their talent with their production. So, like, they know their window's closing. It's great news for the Chiefs.
I'll push back on the window's closing.
Ah, there he is. There he is.
The window, is, as Joe Burrow said, the window is his whole career.
I do not agree with that. That only exists for very few quarterbacks in NFL history.
Joe Burrow's one of them.
It's a problem, though, Drew, if your owner is not willing to pay money to these guys.
The thing with Trey, this is the problem with the Trey Hendrickson thing, is that he signed a deal last year. If he wanted more guaranteed money, he shouldn't have signed the deal last year.
Oh, you know that's not how this works in the NFL, though, man.
I mean, look, that's good theory.
Because a player can sign a deal, and then they outperform, and they want a new deal all the time. I mean, this happens all the time in sports.
Before he signed the deal last year, he had, like, 15 sacks before. Like, he was already a very good defensive end. He just had another year on top of it.
The report was he signed a deal last year, though, because it still wasn't what he wanted, but he was willing to be somewhat of a team player. They gave him a little bump, and he always knew that he was going to come back.
Almost half his market value.
And that's not Mike Brown's fault. Trey Hendrickson's agent, for him to, he shouldn't have encouraged.
You want to be on the side of Mike Brown?
Hang on. He shouldn't have told Trey to sign the deal if he felt that it was short. He shouldn't have signed the deal.
Hold on.
Period.
So is your take though that you signed a bad deal? How dare you ask for more money? That happens all the time
in
the NFL.
That happened to Salvador Perez, and they just gave him more money instead.
Yeah, but
baseball. I wouldn't even bring in baseball because that's like a completely different, like the way the whole situation there is set up. Like, they're not in the cap or anything. But like,
no.
Look at DeAndre Hopkins.
If Chris Jones has 20 sacks next year and is like, I need more money.
He's not, because he's literally got the largest. The difference is,
I know, but
Chris Jones has the biggest contract in the NFL on the defensive line already. So he's not going to come back next year and ask. Your guy is getting half the money he should be getting paid.
Oh, no, I don't disagree that he shouldn't be getting paid more. But the thing is, from what all has been reported, it's the guaranteed money. It's not even the contract. The contract is fine. It's, I'm not making enough guaranteed money to be content with.
I don't think they believe in your guy, Joe Burrow. I think that's what it is, Drew. They don't believe in your guy, Joe Burrow. They don't think he can take him to the promised land. They want out.
The thing that really screws the whole thing up is his agent's an idiot. For him to come out and say,
his agent's a bit of an idiot.
For him to come out and say,
because he signed that deal.
Trey wants to play for the Bengals. Trey also wants to play for another team, but also Trey is considering retirement. There's all the leverage that Trey had in this scenario is gone.
No, he brought it back by saying he'd retire.
Not
he got all the leverage back when he said, I'll just quit. Right? That's good leverage. Saying I'll quit's good leverage.
I don't think, because
then you get no value and you don't get the player.
Drew, are you worried, though? Are you worried?
They would lose out, but I'm not worried in the stance that they would miss him. They would miss him this year, but they've done what every team should be doing, is drafting a defensive end. They've drafted a defensive end every single year the last 3 years. They've got guys that are in the rotation that can be elevated to a starter that would be very good, who have been first-round picks.
But, Drew, this is the team that Burrow had last year, and as of right this second, is still the best team he's ever going to have in his career in terms of talent around him. And only he's going to get harder. Does that concern you? And he can't stay healthy.
I mean, it's always been that way, though. It's always, whether they have Trey Hendrickson or not, or Teagans or not, it was always going to be that way, because it's, can they draft well?
I just don't know how you can say how the window is wide open when your quarterback, for starters, has to be available for at least 16 games at minimum a year.
I think the window's wide open because whenever he's been healthy, they've made it to at least the AFC title game. And they went 9-8 last year.
I know, but like, he's not
out for over half the season.
But that means he's only made the AFC title game twice. He's been a starter in the league for 5 years. I mean, that's not a bad ratio. Most teams,
if you
would
look
take
at all the other quarterbacks in the AFC, nobody's done that.
You know that there's
other
only
than Mahomes.
But you know that there's only been like 30 quarterbacks in NFL history, right? So less than two every that like have made multiple Super Bowls in their career. Like, they're admitting, like, it's weird for you to not admit that their window is closing when they're admitting it. They're saying, we're not giving away talented players when we have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Those guys will be gone. Then we'll have to figure it out.
Like, I think Mike Brown's consensus has always been, you play, like, if
the window's open forever, you trade Tyreek Hill because you're like, screw it, we can win for the next 15 years.
The way that the Bengals have operated is if they expect you to fulfill that all out, and they don't pay you early. And like, Mike Brown's been a lot better in terms of paying guys. It's just that for T. Higgins, they had the option for the franchise tagger to pay him, and they knew, okay, we have to pick between T and Ja'Marr Chase. It was always going to be T. Higgins is going to get the short end of the stick. It was always going to be that way, which is where his situation is not surprising. Trey Hendrickson's situation is more surprising because he signed a deal just last year where we know the output that you're getting, but the way that Mike Brown operates is he probably should pay him.
So
right now, Trey, he should pay Trey Hendrickson right now because they got the cap space and they're going for a Super Bowl. He should do it, but I wouldn't be surprised based on Trey Hendrickson signing that contract.
People have done that, though. I mean, like, DeAndre Hopkins did this, like, less than 5 years ago and got himself traded and got himself a brand new contract. He had 17 and a half sacks last year. Look, he only has $8 million in guaranteed money coming his way. All the people who were paid above him on the average annual per year standpoint have at least 50 or 60, in some cases, $110 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's Trey's thing. And the Bengals, I mean, for what it's worth, they haven't, I'm sure guaranteed money was the problem with T. They wanted to re-sign
and
T.
And why
I'm
is
sure,
guaranteed
but,
money, what's required when you do guaranteed money, Drew? Guaranteed money requires what? Money to be put aside in escrow.
Yeah.
And why is that an issue for Cincinnati?
They're not in that situation where...
their owner's cheap.
Yeah, they're not in a situation that they feel comfortable doing that.
And that's the problem. Like that's an issue long-term for sustained success. And that's why people can put out an F-minus grade for Clark Hunt on the NFLPA survey, and people can have complaints about the practice facility not being up to date. He's handed out massive contracts that have required hundreds of tens of millions of dollars in money being put aside. He's willing to do it because they're in a window to win. It sounds like Cincinnati's owner is not willing to do it. That would suck if I were you and a Cincinnati fan.
Well, that's where the situation with Trey Hendrickson is very weird, because he signed the contract last year. It's not like he signed a 2-year deal. It's not like he signed a 5-year deal and it didn't work out. Or he's not like he signed a 5-year deal and he wants to re-up. He signed a 2-year deal and has played 1 year through it and says, "Hey, I want to."
He's done being the team player. Like,
the Bengals are not going to. They're not going to give him that money when they know that they've drafted DN the last 3 years and they feel comfortable in that position where they got guys who can fill his role. Maybe not as well, but they can fill it and they can address D tackle like they need to.
Do either get traded?
The most likely to get traded is Hendrickson.
I agree. I think Hendrickson does get traded. I think
one of them is not going anywhere
to at this point, right? I mean, how do you not trade one of them? You can't risk. I would be trying to trade one of them tonight if you want to know the truth and get somebody that can help me right away for this upcoming season. You wait till August, or July, you're not getting anything that's going to help you in this upcoming season. If your window is closing, and I think there's a chance it is, to me, you need to move on from one of them tonight and try to put a trade together tonight to go get picks so you can help yourself for this upcoming season.
If I'm the Bengals, look, more power to you, Trey. You can go get paid somewhere else. You signed a contract. If you want to play this year out, we can talk again. But if you want to get traded, we'll send you to Arizona. You can suck, and we'll get the 27th overall pick, and we can go from there.
I don't think you're getting the 27th overall. Brian Burns is younger. They had to give him a contract, too. They didn't give up a...
If they give up a second...
2 seconds, right? Is that what they gave up?
They could give Trey a second and then next year's third and get a first-round pick. They'll have two first-rounders and move on.
Brian Burns. Let's see. What was his trade? Because that's your best comparison, you know.
The only way that the Bengals have the window... It didn't matter if Trey was there. They always were going to have to draft well for them to have the window still be open. So I think the fact that Trey wants to leave it is whatever. It sucks, but it's not like the window is shut because they have to trade Trey Hendrickson or get rid of T. Higgins. That was always going to happen.
The reason
in
why,
my opinion.
We have seen the Chiefs show that they can win in different ways with different personnel when they've had also a lot of money to star players. Cincinnati had an opportunity when they weren't really paying anybody a ton of money. They didn't win anything. And that's why going to the Super Bowl against the Rams and losing is, I think, devastating for that franchise. And now it's only going to get tougher. Joe Burrow's money's going to kick in here in about a year.
Jamar's going to have to get paid.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think there's a chance the window is closing. There's always another.
You can reset a new window.
Yeah. Like, the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. You have a team like Houston that's on the rise. Like, look at Buffalo's the same circumstance here. Things are tougher for them now. That's why there's teams that are surpassing the Bills. I think Cincinnati has another year where they're still one of the top two or three teams in the AFC. Then it's going to get even more challenging. Will Houston surpass them after this season? I think there's a chance.
And you could say the Bills haven't drafted particularly well because they've been close, but they haven't been good enough, and they've paid a lot of money to a lot of guys where the Bengals are on the side of we're going to rely on the draft.
All right, coming up next, we'll get an update on the Royals. Of course, their win last night, some injury news and a move happening, it looks like, in the last couple of minutes. And what is left for Brett Veach to actually prove in the draft? I don't know if there's much left at all. We'll explain next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Great song. One of the best Disney songs of all time, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
We did best Disney songs of all time on the show as a random question once.
We did.
And I very specifically mentioned a Goofy movie, and it's... I don't give Tevin Campbell enough love for this movie, you know?
Coming up in 1 hour, we'll hand things off to Vern. That's the plan as of right now, depending on the weather. It looks like we'll hand things off to Vern for his on-deck show, Royals Baseball, on the air this afternoon as the Royals try to take 3 of 4 from the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll get to the Royals in a little bit, in about 8 minutes, actually, with what they did last night and General MacArthur now, which I love this. Let's just go all in on that.
Big fan of that.
And then, unfortunately, Alec Marsh does end up on the IL. Looks like Will Klein getting called up, making his major league debut at some point today or in the next couple days.
Bullpen's pretty taxed, so there's a decent chance.
Yeah,
it's
bullpen,
today.
Hey, the bullpen's been phenomenal here as of late, to say the least. And the general has been a big part of that. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Oh, I love it. Everybody needs to start embracing that. And it sounds like last night was the first step to the organization from a in-house, in-stadium atmosphere embracing that. We'll explain coming up in a little bit. But it is draft day in Detroit. The Royals are headed to Detroit tomorrow, but it is draft day in Detroit. The Chiefs picking 32 overall. And if you think about the track record of Brett Veach now, I know go all back to year one till maybe 2 years ago, everybody would mention Breland Speaks. Now seeing the success that Veach has had, and it's a big reason why this dynasty exists and why you're able to trade a guy like Snead and why you're able to still retain some talent and
trade Tyreek,
all of that. What's the next big test? Because we know they're not drafting a quarterback for a very long time. That's settled. They hit on a defensive end in George Karlaftis.
I used to ask the question if they could do that. And even the ones they didn't like hit on, they get quality play out of Dana. They get quality play out of Turk Wharton. Like, I do think he can identify some defensive line talent.
And a wide receiver after a couple underwhelming. Rashee Rice, second round pick, turned out to be the second best rookie wide receiver you could have drafted last year.
I would say that's probably my biggest question still remaining is, can you do that twice? Can you find a wide receiver twice? Because he's taken a lot of bites at the apple at wide receiver. So before we're just like, he's got it figured out. Man's got it nailed. He was kind of batting over. Like, and some of those guys were long shots and some of those were whatever. And some weren't bad picks. They were just okay. And I thought that even for the later picks, John Dorsey did a better job finding those kinds of guys. Rice goes a long way to make me feel confident. My biggest question is probably like, hey, can you find like a number one target for Patrick Mahomes that doesn't require you to keep dipping into the free agency market in order to find one of his premier weapons? That's probably it for me, because I thought at first maybe it's like, prove to me you can get Hall of Fame talent. Prove to me you can find.
We act like that's just an easy thing to do.
No, I know, but John Dorsey seemed like he was like,
that's
that might have been
him.
His. Yeah. He was bad at a lot of things. The one thing John Dorsey was the best at was finding Hall of Fame talent. Right. He could go out there and look, even if we just put Mahomes in the 50-50 camp, as in Dorsey is still the man who had to make the pick, but Brett Veach was the guy banging the table for it. That's the case. But McDuffie is one of the best players at his entire position. Creed Humphrey's one of the best players at his entire position. So, like, top end talent, I do think he's helping find that.
Yeah, like there's not a single general manager in the NFL where I'm like, man,
it's batting 1,000.
You have, well, that, but also like, You haven't found the Hall of Famer. How could you? Like, especially when you're picking 28 to 32 most years. Like, I'm really not going to hold that against them whatsoever. I actually think knowing that they're picking 28 to 32 most years, they've done a damn good job. And that over the next 5 years, my guess is their average draft position is going to be like 29th. Like, over the next 5 years, a very good chance that that's where it's going to be. And that's based off of the success that they continue to draft at a high level. At, you know, drafting depth, yeah, you always want the star player. But drafting depth in guys that are contributors that allow you to not have to go overspend for guys that you would like to be able to
sure.
go through. You know, the position of guard on at the right guard. Trey Smith is an above average right guard.
That's a great,
right?
That's a great find.
And that was a middle round pick, and they found him, and now maybe they'll end up finding his replacement at some point in this year's draft, not to play this year, but being ready to have that next guy ready to play in 2025. And you know, that's what they've been so good at. You don't want to have to pay free agent market value for a linebacker or for a center. So you draft Creed
they
Humphrey.
Anthony Hitchens once and it stuck.
Yeah, yeah, they paid a ton of money. Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, guys that pretty soon you might be paying, but they were, for 4 years, essentially, you're getting them at very inexpensive contracts for non-premium positions. You don't want to have to pay non-premium positions through free agency because you're really always going to overpay. So, yeah, I mean, look, you would love for them to go find their Justin Jefferson, but...
That'd be cool. I am interested in that.
Yeah.
If they can do that, I'll sign up.
I just think when you're picking 28 to 32, it's very challenging. And this is why the Trip McDuffie trade up is so impressive from a couple years ago, because you said it. He's going to be probably the consensus best corner in football by the end of this year. And they were picking late in the draft, but they did trade up to go get McDuffie at pick 21. And I still think that's the limitation. Like we were talking to start the show for tonight, if the Chiefs trade up, I think 21-22 is about as high as they are going to go. Someone that they think is going 15 is going to have, or 12 or whatever, is going to have to slide to 22. And then maybe we see the trade-up. Otherwise, when you're picking 28 to 32, you can find great players. There's always outliers. Heck, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just got the big deal yesterday, was a fourth-round pick. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but also that's not the norm.
At other positions, it's easier because Puka Nacua was a fifth or sixth last year, right? And, the you know, in Amon-Ra St. Brown a few years ago, and... Terry McLaurin was a third. Look, I'll be honest. You find good quality wide receivers late in the draft all the time, which is what they did in a second round in Rashee Rice. His other hit rate at wide receiver has forced him to constantly throw money at free agency. And in my opinion, he's only got a couple more years to hit big at wide receiver so he doesn't have to spin big at wide receiver before, yeah, Kelsey eventually is gone and you need a true one. That or you're counting on Rashee Rice to take a big leap forward, which is not out of the question. But also not like, I would still say that's not the most likely outcome in this case. The truth is, very few questions left, man. How many questions can you have left? Like, it sounds nitpicky. Hey, do you think you could find another receiver for me? But this time a little bit better, okay? That one was pretty good. That one was, you know, had a really nice year and they won the Super Bowl, but a little better, if you don't mind.
Yeah, like...
And then at Hall of Fame talent, he might actually have that in Creed Humphrey and Trent McDuffie, who by league standards are considered the number one players at their position in the entire NFL. So am I really, could you get just one more?
Someone agreed with you on the text line and he said he's been GM long enough to have drafted a Hall of Fame player. I just think that's completely unfair. I'm sorry. Like that is wild to me that is a thought. Yes, you would love to have Hall of Fame players. One, we don't know if he did draft a Hall of Fame player. There's two that have a chance, maybe.
Those two, I would say. Yeah.
But this notion of like, oh, you know, how come you haven't drafted a Hall of Famer? Says the fan of a team that's won three Super Bowls in the last 5 years.
It's also easier when like John Dorsey was picking like Eric Berry fifth, you know, and I get it. He got Travis Kelce in the third. He got, you know, like, and again, I still think you could put Mahomes kind of in both camps. Like I definitely think
what you need. You don't need to draft Hall of Famers. You need to draft guys that are starters that you want to give second contracts to, you know, that have a chance to be the best of their position. It doesn't mean they have to go on to have Hall of Fame careers.
But Dorsey took Jones, Kelce,
I understand.
Mahomes. Like, I mean, he's just got like stacks of them.
But he also
part of it is just like he also blew the contract.
Yes.
Of 1,000 players and couldn't keep those guys together. And so like I definitely understand there's more than one side of that coin. And I would make the argument, the first year I think you always throw away for any GM. Like, I would tell you right now, I did like an Excel spreadsheet breakdown of this once at a former place I worked. First year drafts for new NFL GMs, they're bad at it. They are not good at their job. It is very rare. They don't know what they're doing. They make a lot of, not draft day bad mistakes. They're like the rookie GM in the movie, but they're bad. They don't know what the hell they're doing, and they make mistakes. I do think that it's hard because, like, he hasn't taken Hall of Famers. But think how many, like, all-pro or all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber guys, whatever, right? Like Snead or Creed Humphrey or Nick Bolton's going to be a Pro Bowler multiple times. Right. Or Karloftis and McDuffie. Like, his hit rate's getting pretty good. I'm not going to be overly picky on that yet. I'm just saying, like, that'd be maybe, if you're nitpicking, golden question you'd ask.
Yeah, I just laugh. It's just wild to me. How dare he not draft a Hall of Fame
Super
wide receiver?
He's been the general manager.
Yeah, it's consistent draft success. I think he has found his zone over the last couple of years too, and he's done it.
No one's better getting back.
When Ryan Poles left to Chicago, you know, naturally you're like, okay, Brant Taylor's just left. When you start having guys leave your front office, you're wondering, all right, is stuff sustainable? What we have found is, no, he knows what the hell he's doing, obviously. Yeah. Even they have somebody else that is able to come up through the organization and work alongside Brett Veach. He's got, I don't want to say, he's going to continue at the exact same hit rate as he was a couple of years ago. That's a lot to ask. But right now, he's found his zone. He's found how to navigate this, especially as he's gotten more practice, frankly, picking at the back end of the first round. Not every GM can have success there. Like, it's some GMs will not last if they're always picking, obviously, in the top 10. But point being, if you're picking 15th and you're just kind of hovering around average, one, it's a terrible spot to be in. But from a draft perspective, you can trade up, you can trade down. There's way more flexibility. You have a good idea of you might be able to get the number three wide receiver in the draft on a consistent basis. At 32, you've got to do some wheeling and dealing. You got to make sure you're evaluating in a strong way. And we know the draft success that they've had, even after last year. Rashee Rice, Felix, the case is still out. We'll find out from him. Nick Jones, people were high on. He was a 7th-round pick. Maybe he ends up making the team this year and actually contributes at corner.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a GM better in the league in the last 20 years at drafting rounds 4 through 7.
I mean, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, 2 7th-rounders that have come up with big-time plays and moments for this football team. Pacheco's been your starting running back on 2 Super Bowl teams.
You mentioned Trey earlier. There's just a million of those.
All right, let's talk a little Royals baseball, then we'll get back to the draft. It is draft day, but the Royals found a way to win again last night, a chance to get 3 of 4 against the Blue Jays.
I thought they were going to lose that one after they had the bases loaded and one out and didn't score another run.
Real quick, injury-wise, when we can get to the positive stuff, obviously it sucks. Alec Marsh's been pitching really well, going to go on the IL. Hopefully it's a short stint. They reportedly nothing broken, but man, oh man, you take a 100-mile-per-hour ball off the forearm, that's going to cause some problems for you. So he had been fantastic. They had won all 5 of his outings, I think. He didn't get the win at all 5, but they won all 5 of his outings.
5-0.
Yeah, and so he's pitched really well and was trending to giving him a really good out. He was only at 60-something pitches, I think, when he got hit from that line
67,
drive.
67, yeah. So it is not – it's a tough loss. More than you would normally think for a 5th starter. You normally call those guys kind of semi-interchangeable in a way, Gold, where you're like, yeah, whatever. He's the 5th starter. Another guy will come up and be the 5th starter, and they'll have success. But because they're 5-0 in his starts, and in that start in particular, he was absolutely dealing – it's tough. It's tough to lose Marsh. But you and I are probably both hoping the same thing. Hopefully it's just 10 days, you know? He took a forearm contusion. It didn't break. I think they got to feel really lucky he didn't break his arm. And then you call up Jonathan Bolin to make a couple of starts and hope that you can kind of make things work. In the meantime, like you said, Klein will come up. He'll probably pitch into the bullpen over the next 3 or 4 days. And when his spot comes back up in the rotation, they'll call up Bolin or Daniel, and Daniel's been really bad in AAA so far this year. Bolin's been much better, so my guess is that it'd be him, but they've got options.
But we got ourselves a closer. You see that last night? General MacArthur?
He's
got his own walk-in music.
They flickered the lights and the whole thing.
It's been a while since the Royals had someone come out from the bullpen.
The executioner, he didn't
like that nickname. I think Herrera might have been the last pitcher or last closer that actually had some sort of intro-y. But obviously, Soria, welcome to the jungle, all-timer.
I don't remember if they had like a standard like light flickering intro for like Wade Davis. I think he just like came out.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just a cyborg, you know. I mean, it's just that was his thing to begin with. But no, I love this. They got themselves a closer, man. 2 nights, 2 saves, 9 outs, no runs. He's got his own intro now. You got him getting doused with like coffee or something from Bobby Witt Jr.
I'm not sure what it was.
It was like coffee.
Weird colored liquid.
And the general nickname is phenomenal. I think everybody has to buy into this. We have to go all in on General MacArthur.
We got to lean in. It's fun. And you know what? I got to be honest. You mentioned Wade Davis. The thing I like in a closer is like you almost seem so bored with any of this that you don't want to take part of it. Like he seemed like he was negotiating like, I don't want the splash. Don't do it. I'm not interested. I want to just live my life every day, nondescriptly, without doing this. But for them to like have an actual intro,
Do you like it? White horse. You know, he's riding in on his horse. Cloud of dust. I think it fits.
I like the imagery. The song doesn't do anything.
You don't like country, though, right?
For the most part, no.
Chris Stapleton. It's a very popular song.
Is it?
I've never heard this song. It's a very popular song.
Yeah. But I don't listen. Again, I don't listen to country very often, so it's not. I had never heard this song until last night.
Look, it's not Edwin Diaz and the trumpet playing live, okay?
I kind of want something a little more juicy, like. I kind of want something a little more energetic, but this fits General MacArthur.
White Horse.
I know, but I kind of want them to just play like a battleground bugle or something, you know? Like, am I the only one who wants like a bugle playing or something if he's General MacArthur?
They could have it with him.
Yeah, I want it to sound like old timey, like
he runs out with the flag, you know?
Old timey war stuff. Yeah, runs out with the flag. Can we get something up near the Royals Hall of Fame, like the Pasquatch?
Can we get an actual white horse for him to ride out on?
Oh, my. Or the bullpen cart back, and then just dress it up like a white horse, either way.
I feel like that would be a little bit too, I guess, not cocky, but like too much showmanship, if you will. If they really, because if he rides out on a white horse and then he gets hit around.
That's just part of the risk you got to take. Sports are about showmanship.
It would be an epic moment.
Do you think, what do you think? Edwin Diaz never got one time? Come on. True. You think, even Mariano Rivera, who's the best closer in Major League Baseball history, what do you think? Nobody ever got him just because they played Enter Sandman as he walked in the building?
God, if they made it a thing for him to ride out on a horse every single time,
that would be awesome. The most ridiculous. First, I just don't think Major League Baseball would approve that.
Probably not.
I don't think you're allowed to bring a horse out on the field.
But
I don't know for sure. I'm just saying, I don't think you can.
It's a great development, though. They got themselves a closer. Will Smith was given the first opportunity.
Here's the next stage. You're right. They do have a closer, and he's great. You say you want to lean all in. What is the item we should all be wearing at the game to honor? Like somebody suggests, do we all get corn cob pipes? You know, what are we all bringing
cowboy
to the
hats,
game?
I mean, something like that.
I think there's a section in the outfield. It's like the general. They dress up like the generals or something.
Wearing with the brass buttons. Uh-huh. We're wearing peacoat. Uh-huh. I think. Behind the bullpen with MacArthur, we should plan a game as a show to go out and all dress like old-timey generals. I don't know if we got to go to a costume shop
section.
Mm-hmm. And rent one and get a corncob pipe, one of those old-timey generals with the big brass buttons, and we all dress up for General MacArthur.
Yeah, the seats right above the bullpen. That's going to be the first four rows right above the bullpen now become the generals. I don't know. Come up with a better name for it. The general section, the MacArthur section or something.
Where's infantry?
Yeah, there you go.
Are you kidding me? He's General MacArthur and we're his infantry.
Perfect.
We're here for him.
Yeah, infantry, troops, whatever you want to do. Works. Yeah. I think everybody needs to buy in the fact that we got ourselves a closer.
I think we need to get a group of people out there. Who's interested? 913-586-7610. I want to know. I think we all just get...
That would be a lot. I think it would be a lot of fun.
I think
of course he.
Where can we rent a costume like that? Or you think I can just get a really cheap one, like we got you that Nutcracker one off Amazon?
Yeah, I'm sure we can find one online. Yeah, there's a historical figure, 3D printed. That's like a sweatshirt that looks like a
sweatshirt.
It's a sweatshirt that
looks
like
summer.
I know we can't go with that. We can find a quick little Google search here. There's a couple.
If we're in all fairness,
U.S. Army general outfit. There's a couple.
If we're dressing up like generals, it's going to be hot regardless.
True. True.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want a sweater.
Oh, here you go. Someone smart this is just a no-brainer. They're like, guys, it's just general admission.
No.
Just general admission.
I mean, that's also good, but I kind of like calling us as infantry. You know,
general's quarters, the general's gallery.
I like.
Someone says we should hire a General MacArthur impersonator for the game and just have someone that actually looks like just that's what they do. MacArthur's
Army.
Could
just be, rather than being the full costumes, couldn't it just be this hat?
Yeah.
Couldn't we all just be wearing this hat? The one with the little tassels on it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good suggestions. Someone said we call it the barracks. We can make this happen.
The barracks, also strong.
I think we can work with the Royals on this too. We got to come up with something. This is going to be the closer for what hopefully is a great summer in Kansas City. They got themselves a closer, and the team is already all in. It sounds like the players with the general. So General MacArthur it is. And
you need to have the whole buy-in.
We got the song and everything.
47 years ago, there was a man.
Dude, we can totally.
Whose troops would die for him? His name was General MacArthur.
I want to keep taking suggestions. Is it? God, do we go barracks? Is it where
that's
the
good.
Infantry? There's other suggestions out here. I'm open. Like
MacArthur's
General's Quarters.
MacArthur's Armory.
Quarters is good. Like we're, you know, God, it's not bad.
MacArthur Army. There's a lot of opportunities here.
Okay. Just, I'll keep taking suggestions, and I want to know if you're interested in coming to the game if we're all going to. Because, like, it's not fun if it's just me, Alex, and Drew.
We got to make sure we pick. We gotta,
I want, like, 40 people out there dressed like this.
We got to do it on the day.
I want to buy up a whole section.
We got to do it on the day, though, where we know he's had a couple days rest and that he's even an option to pitch. Like, that's the
tricky
part.
That's just a risk we're going to have to take.
Because the best thing is, of course, if he actually pitches that night.
Sure, but the risk we have to take is that. We can't, like, buy him that. We got to plan this thing out a couple of weeks in advance.
I know.
We just have to hope he didn't pitch. We'll have to ask Q to, like, maybe,
yeah, we'll have Bobby
could
Josh
he take the day off
to...
the day before, you
yeah.
know?
Someone says, yeah, this is a good Sunday afternoon game, and the seats we get are right by the bullpen. Someone said behind home plate. No. I think you got to go by the bullpen. You got to have
right
the seats.
The bullpen.
Seats
the,
are right above the bullpen.
It was like Gordo's section back when they were doing, like, the seats out there for Alex Gordon. You do it near the person.
Someone said that it could be called the ninth infantry, as in ninth inning.
Ooh, that's actually not terrible either. There's a lot of
someone says the foxhole.
There's a lot we can do here. This is why the nickname that I will mention. I think Bobby called him. It was Joel Ann during the interview last night. The general
MacArthur's militia. I like that one.
Yeah, we're good. Even if Cody's not on board with the song, which I'm surprised you're not on board with the song. How dare
I like
you?
The
you know,
imagery.
A multiple Grammy award winning singer not on board for someone that sings on this show and not a fan of his of Chris Stapleton's work.
Someone says you almost have to get those general costumes and then sew his number on the back. Like, get one of those cheap Amazon costumes.
Fake mustaches.
And then put his number on the back.
Just get fake mustaches.
Ninth Infantry is pretty good.
It is.
Ninth Infantry, is that not the winner? Like, I've seen it on Twitch from Death Boys. Ninth Infantry, that... pretty good.
Well, let's workshop this over the next couple days and hope by the next homestand, whenever the next homestand is or so, maybe we can make something happen. I haven't looked at the Royals schedule.
I think we could make this work.
Royals' next home game, we could Sunday, May, well, it's part of the series, but Sunday, May 5th against the Rangers, you know, Sunday afternoon, or Saturday, May 4th. May 4th, that's Star Wars night. It get a little confusing. We got Generals and we got Star Wars.
No, we don't want to mix in with that.
No.
What our own thing stands
Sunday, May 5th, okay? They're playing the Rangers. Maybe that's the day we try to set something up.
Okay. We're going to workshop this.
That might be too soon. We can figure it out, though.
We're going to need people.
Trifold hats, all of it.
I am so all into choices. That. It'd be great.
Just so many choices. It's endless.
Love it. Love
I'm going to have to get into it, I guess.
You're going to have to get on board, man.
The imagery works. The white horse, all that stuff, it's fine. I'm just saying, you know, the song's okay.
All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour, as it's our final half hour of the show today before we head things off to Vern, and our final thoughts on how the draft is playing out for the Chiefs tonight.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I did laugh a little bit during the break, though. I saw there's an article from Mail Online, and the article itself is what it is, but the fact that a Chiefs player responded to is what got me to chuckle. So there was an article from Daily Mail said Tyreek Hill has confirmed that he has 10 children in a recent interview.
10?
That's from Mail Online.
Jeez.
He's had 4 children, according to the article, in the past year. And Willie Gay Jr. just responded, former chief now, Willie Gay Jr. responded, all caps, damn!
10 in a year?
No.
Oh, I
thought... 4 in a year.
4 in a year's a lot, dude.
4.
4 in a year's a lot.
10 in a year is just...
Okay, 4 so... is... Okay, so he's not retiring at the end of this contract.
Well, that's why he needed to go to Miami,
he's
Cody.
Need every damn penny of that contract.
Cody, that's why he had to get traded to Miami, man. $27 million a year wasn't going to be good enough.
Just real quick. Has Tyreek Hill heard of an invention called condoms?
He doesn't have an endorsement from Trojan, no.
Is he aware that those exist?
Well.
10 kids, 4 in the last year.
He's about to have his own offense. He can go up against the Rivers and the Cromarties. They'll have their own little league going here pretty soon.
4 kids in the last year. I mean, what is your monthly child support payment? Like, I'm dead serious. What is your monthly child support payments total up to if you're Tyreek Hill? What's it, half a game check?
I mean
it's got to be a huge chunk of your money.
I'm only partially joking about why the, you know, taking 26 or 27 million from the Chiefs wasn't going to be good enough and he needed the 30.
I'm only partially joking. I might have to take it somewhat serious.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's just like... I mean, oh God, so many kids.
How old is he? 29-30.
Someone says he's clearly got a latex allergy. That's what it is. Yep. Other alternatives, I think.
Man, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too many kids, man. At least,
10. 10.
How many different women do we assume?
I think
at least four different women this year, because obviously if they're all born in the same year, geez.
I think the article made it sound like it might have been at least 7 or 8 different ones. I don't know.
Okay.
And she's from Mail Online.
There's a certain part of his game that's not very good, evidently.
Okay.
What would that be, Drew?
Noted.
Well, not pushing.
Pushing?
No, not pushing.
Well, never mind.
Another good option, by the way, on the text line from the James MacArthur thing. 66th Battalion? How do you feel about that?
That number 66? He is number 66. If you're just tuning in, we said that now that we've got ourselves a closer here in Kansas City and James MacArthur and the team, they're already calling him the General. We're gonna have our own General MacArthur section out at the K at some point.
I like
we're
Battalion. Make that
66th Battalion, number 66.
Battalions are good. That's a...
We dress up like generals. And the text line, we have a lot of historians on the text line. Look, we're just trying to lean in the general part. We don't need to have the exact same outfit that General MacArthur wore during World War II.
He's a different General MacArthur. He doesn't have to be a World War II. He can be a Civil War general.
Yeah, we're good. But the point is general, okay? We're just going with the general theme, since that's the nickname that Bobby and others were calling him.
I like the general cowboy hat with the... I just like the look of that one the best. I'm going to be honest with you. Of that, I'm now choosing it based off of the costume I enjoy the most, not the historical accuracy, I'm just going to say.
That's right. That's right. We'll want more details on that.
Do you have 10 kids that I need to know about?
Are you kidding me? 10 kids. 10 kids.
Yeah, just ask him, man.
At least he's got the money to support them, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only maybe bright side there. Talking about Tyreek Hill, by the way.
Yeah.
We're jumping around a little bit here. We'll make sure everybody's on board.
Let's get back into the draft. How about that?
Let's do that. How do you think tonight's going? We mentioned it sounds like we all believe that they ultimately are going to take a pick tonight, that they're not trading back.
Yes.
Yes. I think that they want, same thing applies. I think they would like to either trade up or trade back. 32 is kind of no man's land a little bit, where the talent, because somebody the Chiefs have on their board probably will fall to 20. That's just normally how it works, right? Your top 20 draft board is a lot different than everyone else's top 20 draft board. So by the pick time 21, 20, 22 comes around, normally one guy you still like better than the rest of them is on the board and available to you. But you then still have to find a trade partner. If you're the Chiefs, overpay in order to get to that position and hope that guy doesn't go in the one or two picks before you go to get to 23, 4, whatever. At 32, typically you're like, screw it. There are probably 10 guys I'd take here. Can I go back? And the Chiefs have not been willing to go that far back. They don't want to risk not getting some level of top-end talent. And so I think they're kind of stuck in no man's land. I think they're taking a wide receiver at 32. If you made me guess, that's what it is. I'm fine with tackle. I'm fine with defensive line. I think they'll take a wide receiver. Outside of those three positions, odds are I'd be a little disappointed. I wouldn't be, I'm not going to come here and bury them if they take a corner at 32 tomorrow, even though I don't think they are. Obviously, I would if they took a running back or a linebacker or those, but I don't think that's in the cards. But I mean, the positions I think they're most likely to take are those three, and I think after all said and done, the most talent's going to be at wide receiver at 32.
If they stay at 32, wide receiver and corner, I actually think are the two most likely. If they just flat out stay, seeing where things are trending, and it's just based off of some of the reporting about teams and whether it's a smokescreen or not, and the tackles that could go off the board and teams feeling like they have to trade up. I want them to take a left tackle. I've been pretty consistent on that. I just don't know if they can do that unless they trade up. And so they can definitely trade up. It's just that is challenging. You got to find, of course, a trade partner. We know that was an issue a year ago. So that's what I would prefer them to do. I think that's an option. But if you're saying, hey, they're sticking at their spot at 32, what's most likely? I think wide receiver and then corner might end up being the next most likely. And we were discussing this, that after all the speculation about offensive tackle and wide receiver, do they just flat out say, you know what, the third best corner available in the draft is actually there, and they just take Legarius Sneed's replacement? And people might be a little bummed out by that, but in a year or so, or in December, when they've got a 1-2 punch at corner again and one's a rookie, everybody will be happy and nobody will care. And then they can draft that that defensive lineman or wide receiver in the second round. But I think by the time we get to Saturday, as in through the first couple of rounds, I would be stunned if they don't at least have one wide receiver and corner taken. I really would.
No, I think that corner, I don't think is off their board. Like Pete had said, like in Nate Taylor, like that's definitely a need. There's a reason why Watson and Williams didn't trade off on the job. It's because one guy hasn't just taken the job, right? It's not just Watson's job or Williams' job, but also that's being a bit disingenuous at the position because Watson couldn't just take the job away. He was having a torn labrum the entire year. I think the job was Watson from the beginning, Jalen Watson's. He was ahead of Williams his entire rookie year. And I think that considering health, he would be ahead of Williams again. I think he is their most likely number two corner. I'm not saying they wouldn't take one. I just don't want a 32. I also think that they're trying to convince too many teams they're taking a corner at 32 to not think that they have to jump ahead of the Chiefs for wide receiver, to not think they have to jump ahead of the Chiefs for offensive tackle, because that's a whole other game, Gold. How many people told Daniel Jeremiah they think they have to trade up to get a tackle? Five teams, six teams? All the teams that said that are probably teams who actually want wide receiver. They want you trading up for something else. Oh, man. I guess we probably should get one more mock draft sounder before the draft, huh?
One final one from your guy, Daniel Jeremiah. Cody, I do want to ask.
This is my exact 1 through 32 I fill out the form at the landing.
I was going to say, it seems like this is how you think the draft is going
to
go. I need
to hear it to be sure. Can we like speed through and maybe give more of his picks?
Oh, sure.
And I want more of his picks as the final mock draft sounder. Let me know who I'm picking tonight at the landing. I'd like to just go directly off of his, but if he's got like Bo Nix in the first round, then I'm going to change
through this thing. He does have Bo Nix in the first round.
Damn it.
And there's multiple trades, by the way. Six quarterbacks going in the first 22 picks.
Yeah, I can see that.
The Chiefs, will start off with them real quick first, though. A.D. Mitchell, he's got them taking at 32, not trading up to get him. So he thinks A.D. Mitchell slides to the Chiefs at 32.
So he's on the board at 32?
I mean, who would argue with that? Come in here tomorrow and be upset if they got A.D. Mitchell at 32?
There's very few things they could do tonight that anybody should be upset about. They could trade out of the first round. You'll be disappointed. You shouldn't be upset. That actually might be a prudent move. If they draft a corner, it's not the sexy wide receiver position, but they draft a corner.
It's not the position I want, but yes.
Yeah, there's nothing they can really do tonight in the draft where you can just flat out be like, how could they?
I mean, unless they took like a running back.
They're not taking a running back in the first round tonight. That would just be insane.
But they took a guard 32nd.
I wouldn't like it, but like as far as like disappoint, but like there's their Trey Smith replacement. They don't have to pay him.
He does not have the Chargers trading out of five, and he has Joel as the second offensive tackle. Here we go. We'll go through it. Caleb Williams, one. Jaden Daniels, two. Drake May at three to the Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals at four. J.C. Latham at
That's
five.
That's been the new movement, right? His odds at going higher as the first offensive lineman have shot way up.
Mm-hmm. Giants do not take a quarterback. They take Malik Nabers at six. Joe Alt, seven. Dallas Turner to the Falcons. Fashanu, the tight end or the offensive tackle from Penn State to the Bears at nine. Roman Dunze to the Jets at 10. J.J. McCarthy at 11 to the Vikings straight up. They don't even have to trade.
They would love that.
I'm sure they'd be hyped.
Then there's a trade. The Broncos trade back. The Eagles trade up to draft Talese Fuaga from Oregon State at 12.
They need more offensive linemen.
Penix Jr. to the Raiders at 13.
Okay.
Then it goes.
You're going to have to root against him, Gold. I know you like him as a guy, but
I know
he's going to be wearing that silver and black, and you're just going to have to root against him.
That'll be easy to do.
Torre Fatanu to the Raiders to the Saints at 14. Brock Bowers to the Colts at 15. Terrion Arnold, corner from Bama, to the Seahawks. Quinion Mitchell to the Jags. Byron Murphy to the Bengals. Amarius Mims,
How long until Byron Murphy wants to be traded out of Cincy once he gets drafted? Like, is it tomorrow or is it a couple months from now? Or
right after he gets tagged.
Fair, yeah. So a couple years.
I was going to say give it 3 years or 4 years, and then he'll... I'm sure he'll be next on the list. Amarius Mims goes to Washington, who trades up with the Rams in this case.
Is Mims going that high? I thought his whole body's in shambles.
He just hasn't played a lot. He can't stay healthy.
Him and Tyler Guyton are very sketchy, but they've got a lot of high potential. That's why... they have Tyler Guyton going 20
to
the Steelers.
So I'm fine with drafting potential even at pick 32, but I'm not trading up to 19 to get a guy. Pete Schrager had him trading up to get Mims.
Johnny Newton goes 21, Cody, to the Dolphins.
I like him too. They're taking a defensive lineman. That's my guy.
And then, as you would suspect, the Eagles traded up with the Broncos to get to 12. Broncos at 22. Bo Nix goes there.
And there's your sixth quarterback.
That is your sixth quarterback. And then Cooper DeJean for some others goes 25. Kool-Aid goes 29 to the Lions.
Who did the Bills take then?
Brian Thomas Jr. at 28. So
I told you the injury stuff is very real with a lot of these teams. Jeremiah is one of the people who reported like five or more teams have injury concerns.
I think that's why he has him falling.
If he's at 28, I might take a risk. I don't care.
Because there'll be somebody tonight, and we're like through the first nine picks, or let's say first 11, and seemingly is falling. And then you'll start to see Schefter or whoever tweet out like, I'm starting to hear there's some red flag injury concerns on blank player. And the next thing you know, we're sitting there. He's still there at 18. I don't know who that player is going to be. Maybe it is Thomas Cody, but there will be one or two players like that where we're like, how the heck is he's still on the board at 15? And then you'll start to see stuff leak out that didn't leak out a day or two ago. And it's like, oh, yeah, teams are actually really concerned about his injury stuff. And all of a sudden he falls to late first or falls into the second round. Not him, but just somebody.
Somebody. Well, and that's, I told you, it's already started a little bit with Brian Thomas Jr. Doesn't mean it'll hold, but it's already started with him. That's the other one where, like, I don't know where Mims is going. Because how many teams view the fact that he started like four games in all of college actually view versus, oh my God, what if we get the best left tackle available? Because like people think that if he stays healthy, he is a day one starter at left tackle. And if you think that and you can get that at 25 or 20, that's a rare case you can get that guy at 20.
Where did someone was asked on the text line, since Bowers is not going to the Jets, where did they have him going in this?
Nine,
Colts at 15.
Oh, Colts at 15. So he slipped too.
So he slid a little, six spots or five spots, depending on, again, it's so funny. It's like, did he really slide or is that where teams thought he would
in
go?
Fairness, you know? He was projected as kind of like a top 10 guy for a huge chunk of 2 years.
He's been in that range though to 15 where the Colts, I don't see him getting past the Colts at 15, I guess.
Anthony Richardson, Michael Pittman Jr., Brock Bowers,
get your next Dallas Clark, you know, your next elite tight end.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense for them. If you've got Anthony Richardson, and there were people who loved what they saw out of Anthony Richardson before he got hurt last year. So, I mean, you do kind of like, if you spent that kind of premium pick, you do kind of just
there was a comp for Bowers I thought actually was really good, and it was Shannon Sharp. In terms of speed, size, ability to just completely break a game open.
I think people probably sign up for that.
Somebody said they hope Bowers goes to Cincy. Hey, you know what? That would be great. The thing about the Bengals and Bowers is so interesting to me because I'll be honest, they sucked so bad last year on defense. I would almost them rather take Byron Murphy or Johnny Newton than Brock Bowers.
Wow.
Dead serious. Because
you can't just be really bad on one side of football.
They gave up 6.5 yards per play last year. They were horrendously terrible, particularly on the defensive line. I would almost them rather skip on Bowers.
Maybe that's why Lou Anarumo wasn't getting any head coaching.
Yeah, that went away quickly.
That got quiet in a hurry. Yeah, that's the difference between it.
Someone said, is there any chance K. Williams slides to 2 or 3 the Bears?
No, 0%.
No. K. Williams is going number one overall.
That would be crazy.
It's minus $1 trillion. It doesn't matter.
The only slight chance of something crazy happening is if the Commanders don't pick Jaden Daniels and suddenly they go with J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, and then that throws a wrinkle and everything else. But Caleb Williams is going number one overall.
It certainly seems like the way the draft plays out kind of hinges on where J.J. McCarthy goes, or when he goes, I guess. Not necessarily where, but if he goes 4, that opens up a little bit more of the draft, where if he's drafted at 11 even, I think it doesn't – there's not as much action going on.
Let's take our guesses. Where do you think Caleb Williams, let's lock that in.
Yep. He's going to
Chicago.
Do we
all think Jaden Daniels 4?
I do
too.
Yes. I think Jaden Daniels is going to the Commanders.
I think Drake May 3 to the Patriots.
Yep. Agreed.
I think J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings.
Well, I think four is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona.
Yeah, I'm just talking just the quarterbacks.
And then see 5.
With teams?
Yeah.
Let's line up with the Vikings.
So 5 is interesting. So see if you guys agree with this. So every mock draft now has switched to J.C. Latham or whatever going to the Chargers. I think here's why, and I think it's intentional why the Chargers are leaking out that, oh, maybe they like him better than Joe Alt, because they know they're not going to get Joe Alt, as in they're going to trade the 5th pick to a team to get a quarterback. That means they'll fall behind the Titans. The Titans will draft Joe Alt. Then Latham will be the guy that the only guy that can get an offensive line at pick 10 or 11 or something like that. And so they're making it seem like Latham was the guy they wanted all along already, knowing that they're trading the 5th pick, so they won't be able to get Joe Alt because the Titans are picking Alt at 7. That's my theory, but
I don't think that's way up. I do not think the Chargers are picking at 5. Who do you think drafts Penix?
Raiders.
Yep, I agree.
Raiders. I can tell you tonight at the landing, you guys can fill out your form. My form, that I can't win the prize, but my form will have Penix in one way or another ending up with the Raiders.
Bo Nix
going to the Broncos.
So you think two quarterbacks?
I think six are going in the first round. Again, a reminder, go to 610sports.com and you can fill out that draft form. We will have some on site tonight at the Landing in Liberty, but you have to turn it in before.
Have you guys already filled yours out?
No.
Okay. I have not either.
I'm just going to go on Jeremiah's, except for I'm just going to kick Bo Nix out. I'm going to put somebody else in.
Yeah.
It'll be 31 out of 32.
Same trades as well? Are you literally going to copy his draft board?
Correct. Except for Bo Nix.
He's going to change that one.
I think Bo Nix is going in the second round. I'll tell you right now. So of all the, like, we do these, like, they do those analysis of, like, who's the most accurate in mock drafts, and you've talked about this. Daniel Jeremiah is actually one of the better ones.
Yes.
Historically, the most overdrafted mock draft quarterback every time.
Yeah.
They always have him way too high in the draft. That's why, like, you know,
but for all contests
JJ
tonight,
11. No,
for just all contests tonight, it doesn't matter when.
Sure does.
The Raiders may not end up trading up and getting him, but if they end up with Penix and you write on your sheet Penix, well, you get a couple points for that. So we hope to see you guys tonight at the Landing in Liberty. Bink and Chris start their show at 6. Hopefully the weather and Royals cooperate with us for that. As of right now, things are on schedule. We're going to hand things off to Vern for his on-deck show. He'll get you set as the Royals try to take 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.